It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Oh, I reckon there are some clubs and some players and some fans that won't want to listen to this one, MG. Don't expect the downloads to be super high because there were some underwhelming performances off the back of round nine. Let's go all the way back to Thursday night. At Stadium Australia, we were out there. Storm, Rabbitohs, you know, a contenders clash. These are two teams that people had written in as grand final candidates, but in the end, it was the Storm and nothing but the Storm. Storm 50, Rabbitohs zip. We will discuss the old adage of no team has ever been conceded 50 points in a regular season game and gone on to win the comp. That's a question we have to answer about the Bunnies now. And the other talking point, obviously, Josh Adokar, six of the best.
Yeah, it started off, we were there commentating this game, and unfortunately only 7,500 others only were there to watch this game because it deserved better eyes, because what we saw was we hadn't seen for 71 years, and that was six tries from the Fox at Adokar. But yeah, the four players, major players, Latrell and Campbell Graham and Cam Murray and Adam Reynolds were all out. And it just showed without Adam Reynolds or Cody Walker in the halves, they just were inept. Young Hawkins, he tried his guts out. You know, I think he tried his guts out for a guy playing his second game. And they targeted Benji big time with the ball. The Melbourne Storm, they had a game plan to go to Benji as much as they could. But they were just awesome, Melbourne. Olam setting up most of them tries for the Fox. Inside work from Brandon Smith and Harry Grant around the ruck was sensational. Cam Munster is always in the game, and their forwards, Christian Welsh, and then Finucane when he came on, and Nelson when he came on, and they're just the juggernaut, this Purple Army, and I don't know, probably Penrith and them are in the grand final. On this form, you can't see any other teams getting close to these two teams at the minute.
I think Parramatta Eels might have something to say about it.
And look, the Roosters are just bridge too far. We'll get to their game in a minute, but they've got to be favourites to get the grand final, Penrith and Melbourne.
Yeah, you'd think so. A rematch from last year's grand final. Josh Adokar jumps to equal level leading try scorer off the back of that six-try performance. This is a guy who's coming to the Bulldogs next season, MG, and from all reports, to play fullback. And yet you look at what he does on a wing. And I understand that there's more cash up for grabs when you wear the number one, but this man is the best winger in the competition and has been, and he's still only 25 years of age.
Yeah, and we've spoken about it. You know, be careful what you wish for, Joshy, because the fullback is a completely different ball game. It's a completely different animal. Got to do a lot more running. Won't be as explosive. He's got to do a lot more, you know, the defence of cover defending and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, look, it can't hurt him playing fullback. I mean, a player of his calibre.
Can't hurt the bank balance, but...
Oh, man, it was just watching him live. He's so quick off the mark.
He's incredible.
Not many other players would have scored them tries that he scored because... And a lot of them were given to him on a plate, but man, he's so fast.
There was a photo I saw at some point over the weekend. There's that famous NBA photo of LeBron James dunking as Dwayne Wade has already laid it off the backboard for him. And Dwayne Wade is looking at the camera with his arms out as LeBron's completing the dunk behind him. There was a photo akin to that with Justin Olam, who's thrown the pass to Fox, is already through the in-goal area with arms out celebrating. It was such a good shot.
And I've got to give a big pat in the back to Nico Hines, who would be in first grade any other club. He gets better each week. Well done.
This is Nico Hines, another great Craig. It will be another Craig Bellamy story of average to good, good to great, great to rep. Yep. You know, this is what Craig Bellamy does to these players. And you're spot on, MG. There would be 15 other clubs right now having a think about Nico Hines and going, is this someone we need to go shopping for in some capacity? So maybe not the Penrith Panthers. But all right, let's shuffle along to those Panthers. 48 to zip. Anything you can do, we can do better, they thought to the Storm. They didn't quite get there, but 48 to zip over the Sharks. Just, different classes, really, in this Friday night fixture.
Yeah, well, it's gone from bad to worse for the Sharks since they've sacked John Morris. And they weren't even in the game at Penrith Stadium or Bluebet Stadium on Friday night. They didn't come. They didn't bring their boots with them, which was a shame because Penrith are there to play. Isaiah Yeo, he's getting closer to a starting position in the Origin team, you would think, on back-to-back performances each week. He just keeps getting better. Fisher Harris up front. Nathan Cleary's game management. I sound like Groundhog Day because each week I say the same things. It's Brian To'o. ran for 300 metres. It is Groundhog Day. This guy is just, he can't do anything else. Put it this way. Tyrell can't play better. Can't play any better to getting a Blues jersey. He can't play any better. He's reached the peak of his powers, and he might stay like it for another 5 or 10 years, but surely you can't get any better than what he's doing each week, averaging nearly 280, 300 metres.
Freddie has all the evidence in front of him. It's not like Freddie's sitting there asking questions about Brian Toto. He knows what he is now. He knows what he is. He knows what he can be. He knows what his combinations are with those Penrith playmakers and the rest of the Panther origin rep. So, yeah, you're right. Now it's just a decision. Charlie Staines, I think, is probably, scored a hat trick, and I think that's probably an exciting development for the Panthers and a growth as they move forward. This is a position where Josh Mansell was obviously one of the wingers last year, and now Staines is getting that crack after they said, Mansell, you can explore your options. But I imagine that the even-sidedness now of the Panthers' attack a little bit more would be encouraging for Ivan.
Well, you've got Toto, who's a little chunk of love, and you've got Charlie Staines, who wouldn't get wet in a shower. Yeah. You've got to run around in the shower to get wet, so he's not nothing of him. But he's a great finisher, and he's only going to get better. And he knows his way to the try line. He got a hat trick on Friday night, and yeah, you're right. Unfortunately for the other side, Josh Hannay, hasn't had a victory yet. Hasn't sang the victory song as the interim coach, and I don't know who they're playing in Magic.
They're Rabbitohs. They got the Bunnies.
Well,
the bashed up Bunnies.
Rabbitohs could be. We'll see how they bounce back. They probably will bounce back, but the Sharks have got to up the ante.
Meanwhile, the match of the round finishes the Magic Round. Titans Panthers.
Ooh, Sunday night, yeah.
You watched Tino punch holes in this myth of a Panthers pack.
Oh, you said that, mate. So, Ivan, there's a little quote for you to put on the dressing room.
Yeah, but stick that up on the dressing room. Panthers, but who? Who said this? Hey, quickly on the Sharks though. I did read somewhere over the weekend, and apologies for not being able to attribute it, but I read the power brokers at the Sharks, or Dino Mezzatesta potentially, already coming out and saying, no, we stand by our decision to sack John Morrison and get rid of him when we did. For mine, that is evidence that they're starting to regret it.
Yeah, well, what else did they expect? I mean, what did they expect when, you've got the players all wanting him to stay? Well, they said it to his face, they did. And, what you can see. And I just don't know why they didn't wait till the season ends and said, look, just wait and see your results. And I think they were scared that Morris was going to go well.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you can say about the management, because they've stuffed up big time.
You wonder if the players are starting to think that as well. Hey, Eels Roosters, this second game Friday night, the two lots of contenders in action on Friday night. This side, the Eels, again, just getting it done. There are some big talking points out of it, but let's talk about the result first, MG. 31-18, 13-point win. Again, just another win.
Yeah, they do enough, don't they? They seem to be doing enough, Parramatta. And after, look, let's first centre around the Roosters and how brave they were again. Yeah. Losing Victor Radley in the first half through concussion. And they, up until, 8 minutes to go, it was only 24-18. To the Eels. So then I think Moses kicked a field goal to make it 25-18, and Brown scored to finish it off. But they were brave, and Parramatta looked like they had another gear, and looked like they always have another gear. That's probably the best thing about them this season, that they're not going full tilt. They just seem to have a couple of aces up their sleeve, and playing against Penrith and Melbourne, they'll need them, because you would imagine it's the three of them are going to duke it out. Well, yeah. Rabbitohs will have some say in it, but I after being beaten 50-0, it's hard to come back from that. But yeah, look, I think Parramatta were really good. And the Roosters were Junior Paul up front. Ryan Madison was fantastic. Mm. And in a losing team, I think Teddy was great too.
Let's talk about the bunker miss at the end. Murata Niokora, the shot on Teddy. I know he's been suspended for it now. And then further to that, the Dylan Brown sliding into Drew Hutchison.
Yeah, they both should have been sin bin, at least. They should have been sin bin offences. That's what we've got the bunker for, to sweep that up, clean it up, if the referee misses it. And now we've only got one referee on the field, we've got to give him more support, and that's what the bunker's there for. They should have at least had a chance to play Parramatta with 11 players, the Roosters, but they didn't. And
must be so frustrating for Graham Annesley to have to release the statement that he did over the weekend saying we're having a change in the bunkers and we acknowledge that mistakes were made. Because that is their job. It is what they're there
for. See it at home. We could all see it at home.
Every single person watching it on TV.
Oh, that's what I don't get, Liam. That's what I don't get. When we can see it and we're screaming at the TV, what are you doing, ref? It was accidental knees in the back, but he was still reckless.
Exactly.
It's still reckless, man. You look at the situation
Drew Hutchison finds himself in now, where this is a fringe player who was and contributing for a contender. You know, they were battling along under man, but they were still winning games. And now he finds himself laid out for however long. And who knows? And I'm sure, you know, the Roosters won't cut him adrift necessarily, but who knows what now becomes of his career because of this injury. Having said that, you know, Dylan Brown, not a malicious player. I think, you know, he's...
No, it was careless.
It was careless, you know, exactly.
He rang Drew Hutchison the next day to apologise, so good on him for that. Yeah. But, yeah, it's what the bunker's there for, so let's start having more power. Well, not more power, just...
Just use your proper power.
Use what we can see. Like, give us a button at home, and I'll say, hey, ref, bin him. Put him in the bin because it's going to be a furor if you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. The Eels got it done though. And if you haven't listened to today's show, we spoke about the situation the Eels now find themselves in for Magic Round. They face the Warriors, but with the injuries to, I beg your pardon, with the concussion to Reid Marnie and the injury, the suspensions to Niokora and to Brown, they find themselves in a really precarious position. Against the Warriors, potentially only having 17 players to choose from. We'll break that down in the preview podcast at length, and obviously when the Tuesday team list come out tomorrow, we'll have more of an idea of how they're looking. Raiders Knights, you called this the loser leaves town match, MG, and
yep.
I think that's what the Raiders have to do now, pack their bags and get out of Dodge.
Yeah, they do. That just puts them 5 losses in a row, puts them 13th on the ladder, which is, you know, for a team that we all thought were going to be a title contender. Look, they can fight back a bit. They can show some resolve, but you just can't see it. There's an implodement at the moment happening in Canberra that they don't seem to be able to stop. Each day we hear something's coming out of different players. Another player, we heard the next player, John Bateman, yesterday, you know, from the other side of the world, have his 2 bobs worth. And so, yeah, it's a sad state of affairs for the Raiders and their fans. They're in a slump, an old-fashioned slump, and the only way to get out of it is to win footy games.
The hard thing for the Raiders as well now, you see, obviously the Sydney Morning Herald has reached out to John Bateman for that story.
Yep.
And what that tells you is that the media smells blood.
Of course.
No one, I don't have the journalist in front of me who wrote the article, but the Sydney Morning Herald doesn't reach out to John Bateman if things are going tickety-boo at the Raiders.
No.
With the way things are going, they've gone, oh, I know what might tick this story along a little bit. A disgruntled former employee. And that's what they got.
And what he said was basically, if you hadn't read the story this morning, was that he questioned why some of the intimate chats he had with Ricky Stewart found their way to the media really quickly. And he said the same thing's happening to Josh Hodgson that happened to me.
You know? It was Chamo. It was Michael Chamis who wrote the piece.
Okay, so Chamo's obviously rang him and said, mate, what's going on? And he's obviously dirty the way that he was approached and what happened to him. So now he's saying that the same thing's happening to Josh Hodgson. And so watch this space. Look, it's getting more and more unlikely that Hodgson will be a Raider next year.
Yeah, well, and the Brisbane Broncos is the name we've heard. And this is not a knock on Chamo for writing the story. He's got a job to do and he's done it. But
that's right.
The difficulty for the Raiders administration now and for Ricky and for all their leaders is, I don't know if a win stops this, MG. I don't know. They've got the Bulldogs this weekend. Should be a winnable game. But I don't know if a win will turn off the tap of noise around the club.
You know what? It'll help.
It will, of course it will. You're right. West Tigers, Gold Coast Titans, we thought this was a game where the West Tigers could have made a statement and started to create a fortress-like environment at Campbelltown Stadium. Instead, Big Tino turned up, just punched holes in them, MG, 36-28. The Mighty Titans are back. Get on board.
Oh, AJ Brimson was electric, as were most fullbacks this round, as was young Tanner Boyd. I thought he was fantastic, too. But, yeah, look, it's – oh, man, it's kind of – we heard the press conference from from Madge McGuire. We played it on the podcast today, and as we said then as well, it seems to be the third or fourth time we've heard that same type of sermon being preached by McGuire, and it's, you know, it's time to act. It's time to make cuts to your roster and get players in there who follow game plans, because obviously they're not doing it. And if I'm coaching someone who keeps not following, who doesn't follow my game plan continually, I'm getting rid of him. Simple as that.
It must be infuriating for Madge and the other coaches when they sit in the box, and that wasn't a game plan thing. That was an effort thing.
Execution as well. And execution on the last play was very, very poor, especially from Luke Brooks.
So frustrating for Madge to go, we have these downs, and then we have these ups where we do what we're asked, or they do what I ask of them against the Dragons last week, and we get the results. And then they turn out, and then they don't do what I ask of them, and then this happens. And it's just like, it must be incredibly frustrating. God, who'd want to be a coach?
It would be. I mean, that's the thing. That you got the sense that they were going to beat the Dragons last week, because I think they were on the end of a three-game losing streak at the time, and but you don't want to be on another three-game losing streak. Otherwise, you might as well worry about 2022 and forget about this year already.
Yeah, absolutely. Righto, this game, this was one of the games of the round, actually. The Titans,
awesome game.
The Broncos taking on the Cowboys. In the end, the Cowboys got it done by a point. And Jason Taumalolo reminded everybody why he gets paid what he gets paid.
Yeah, darling, I'm home. That's what he's knocked on the door and said, look at me, here I am. He was back to his barnstorming best, I think for about the 50th time in his career. He ran over 200 metres. He was fantastic. Val Holmes' clutch field goal to seal the deal was awesome. Kyle Felt, Mr. Go-Go Gadget Man, with that try he scored.
That was incredible. It was
just a great game. You know, in front of, what was there, 20... There's 22,222 people at GCB Stadium up there in Townsville, and they all got their money's worth, because this was a fantastic game. The Broncos were good. The Broncos were better.
Yes.
They're getting better. They seem to be getting better every week under Kevy, and that's what you got to do. If you're improving each week, well, that's all you can, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. As for the Cowboys, well, good on them as well, because after a 0-4 start to the season, they've come real good at the moment. They're knocking on the eight.
Well, they're level on points with the Titans and the Warriors, who sit seventh and eighth.
Yeah, there you go.
So they're just out on four and against.
Yeah.
And this, it harks back, MG. You said it last year, and you said at the start of this year, you rate Todd Payton so highly as a coach. You think the work he did with the Warriors last year was outstanding, and you loved the fact that the Cowboys went with him as their senior coach. Now, doubts emerged at the beginning because of the hardline stance and the way he handled it, but it turns out we should have all just shut up and let Todd coach the way Todd wants to coach, because they're on board.
Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, there was murmurs and I suppose if anything, the Raiders should look at the Cowboys and all the noises that were coming out of their dressing room from disgruntled players, and half of what we're hearing from Canberra might be fake. Half of it mightn't be true. So, and that's basically what we heard from the Cowboys, was that Taumalolo wants out. You know, he's not happy. He's out injured because he's acting injured because he doesn't want to be the coach by this bloke. And that's how viral these rumors go.
Yeah.
But watching him play on Saturday night, there's no worries with him. He's back. He's back, baby.
And you get the sense that Todd Payton probably gave him the biggest hug. He gave him the stick earlier in the season, and now he probably got a nice big old carrot after that.
Now he'll reap the benefits of that little smack on the bum.
That is going to be a fascinating clash when they take on the Roosters this weekend. That is going to be a huge game. Seagulls, Warriors, I mean, the Warriors 32, they went down 38-32 in the end. The Warriors, they were in control. They were leading at halftime. But T. Trbojevic.
Yeah, his 100th game would be memorable in more ways than one, just for his stats alone. And 200 runs, 200 metres he ran for. He scored two. He set up four tries. He had five line breaks, and he had 11 tackle busts, which is just, man. The irony of this is that in the first half, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was the best player on the field and was looking like being the game winner for them. But Tommy just, I was watching the game from home, and I saw him getting a massage at halftime, and I'm hoping there's no injury to him on his hammies and stuff, but he ran out in the field and I thought, oh, there's no hammy problem there. Look at him go. And the Warriors could have iced this game. They had a three-man overlap, and Cody Nikorima, he passed the ball to the winger, but he should have went to the centre, and the ball went to ground. He should have passed it to Rocco Berry, and that was kind of the turning point. That's when Foran made a bit of a break, and then next minute we had them scoring a try, a beautiful ball from DCE to their second rower, which is Olakatawatu. That Manly was just great. That Manly lifted, and they lifted because they got the best player in the game when he's on. There's no better sight than seeing a fit Tommy Turbo. He's just, what he does and how he does it is never been seen before.
Yeah, shout out to our man Jason Saab as well. He scored a hat-trick.
Hat-trick, good in Supercoach, baby.
He's starting to find his feet. He's growing ever more comfortable at the level, and no doubt having Tom Trbojevic.
Well, that's eight tries he scored now in the last six games.
Yeah, so. But I imagine Jason Saab would be the first to tell you that his form is enhanced by the presence of a certain Trbojevic, number one. Looking at this side, though, MG, we've talked about the influence of Tom Trbojevic. What screen? Because you look at this side on paper, and it's not a bad side. If you take out Tom Trbojevic, it's not a bad side. And when you consider that they're doing this at the moment without no Marty Tapau,
who's out their front rowers,
and Josh Alloy as well. So they did
and
this without those big boys.
Sirenin's injured as well.
So they've got some injuries to deal with. But what is the secret sauce? Because this team without Tom Trbojevic, busted, broke down on the side of the road, going nowhere. Questions being asked about Des Hasler's future. Tom comes back in, and I don't know. Yeah, he just turns the lights back on. It's remarkable.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. That's what he brings to the table. He brings not just his own game, but he brings out the best in his teammates. And just by putting his boots on in the dressing room, they see him.
Lacing them up.
And turning up at training. And I was disappointed we didn't see Reece Walsh until late in the game yesterday. I thought Brandon might have used him a bit earlier, but he didn't come on until about the 58th minute or something. So would have liked to see more of him. But look, the Warriors were gallant again. The Warriors had this game at halftime, as you mentioned. I think it was 20-16 they were up or something like that. And then bang, 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 turbo time. He's set up four tries, he tackle breaks. He's just an unbelievable player. He's the best player that I've ever seen in playing in that form. Like, he's untouchable. He's untouchable, and I just don't believe how I can't believe how dominant he is.
Different, very different physical players, but it draws parallels with Ben Barber's Dally M season. I mean, the form where it was just like, you just knew Ben Barber was going to dominate games.
Oh, yeah, he played out of the box. But Turbo's, he's been back four games and he's got three man of the matches. And it was only against Penrith at Bathurst that he didn't. And he still tried his guts out and pushed Penrith, not on his own, but again, they lift around him when the DCE's form since he's been back has been fantastic. Foran's been fantastic. And even Croker at the hooker's been fantastic.
I tell you what, we're about to talk about this Dragons outfit. The race for 6th, 7th and 8th, those final three spots in the 8 behind the five benchmarks that are the Eels, Panthers, Storm, Rabbitohs, Roosters. You got Dragons, you got Titans, you got Warriors. Now you got the Seagulls, the Knights being resolute, and you got the Cowboys. The race, so 6 doesn't go into 3. It is going to be a fascinating race for those final three spots. Last game of the round, St George Illawarra Dragons, 32-12 over the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Hook Griffin would just be pleased that his side performed well and got the win despite the opposition.
Yeah, of course he would be. But I think the most pleasing thing for Hook was the fact that he debuted two young blokes, Matt Fagai and Junior Ramone.
Both scoring tries on debut.
And they both scored a try. Not since 2007 has that happened to the Dragons.
Really?
Keith Leilua and Richie Williams both scored on debut.
That's impressive you had that stat at hand, MJ.
Oh, man, that's just what I am. I'm an encyclopedia of rugby league. You know that. But, yeah, look, I wasn't – I hate seeing young kids getting hooked like young Flanagan, but that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately. When you're the playmaker of a team, a lot is expected. And Barrett – had enough of watching, the last play options, going sideways, and so off he came, and Yeah, not a good sight seeing a young kid on the bench cooling his heels.
Do you... Can you try and give us some insight into what Trent Barrett might have been thinking there? Because, I mean, they brought this kid over from the Roosters and the Roosters were happy to let him go. But they've obviously got plans for next year that Kyle Flanagan stands alongside Matt Burton in the halves. And the weekend, the performance he was putting in, obviously not up to scratch. Do you think Trent Barrett's gone, I'm going to teach this kid a lesson? Or do you think it is purely gone, it's not about lessons, this is about performance and execution. You are not performing, you are not executing, you're coming out of the game.
I think it's more the latter. I don't think you put him on public display like that, being an ex-playmaker himself. The worrying side thing for young Flanagan is that this is his third club in as many years, and he's probably yet to find a home in any of them, from the Sharks to the Roosters and now the Doggies. So, he'll be better for it. Being pulled off the field by your coach when you're coming last and you've won one game all year is not the world's best scenario. But if you can learn something from it, well, hopefully
one of the great undersells.
Yeah.
His dad, Shane, would be in touch with him, and he's obviously protective as a father should be. But I wonder if Trent Barrett's is it an arm around scenario today, back when they're out training again, or is it
You've got to persist with him. You've got to persist. It's there's not much else in the garage to bring out.
Let's not put this all on Kyle Flanagan, by the way. Like he had a bad game and got hooked, but no one at that club is flying.
No. When you've won one game for the whole season, when you were expected to go a lot better, each week you just get your feet caught in quicksand and you can't get out of it. And that's the way of watching these Doggies at the moment. You've got to feel for them. As I said with the Raiders earlier, when you see a team losing five in a row and you see a team win one from nine with the Doggies, you feel for them because, I've been there as a player. And when you can't get yourself out of a slump, there's nothing more frustrating.
Mm. Well, I think at the end of round nine, MG, the ladder is starting to... We've sort of got sections set now. I think you can probably put those bottom four as the bottom four: Sharks, Broncos, West Tigers and Bulldogs, with the Raiders doing their darndest to join them. Then you've got that middle tier who are, as I said before, six of them are probably going to be fighting it out for the final three spots in the eight. And then you've got the top bunch. The Roosters, Rabbitohs, Storm Eagles and Panthers. And you could probably separate the Storm Eagles and Panthers...
I think so.
Yeah, away from the Rabbitohs and Roosters.
Yeah,
now.
I think so. Yeah,
well,
I
you
think
can probably put the Panthers on its own tier, really.
Well, Panthers and Storm, Cameron Smith must be sitting at home with his slippers going, I thought they'd miss me a little bit more than this. I thought they might miss me just a little bit more than they are at the moment. But they haven't missed a beat without him.
Nah.
And the two games they've lost, they should. Well, Ollam, if he passes against Penrith to an unmarked Fox, they win.
Mm.
A great tackle from Kikau held him up. He came out from nowhere. And then against the Eels in that driving rain when the Sivo scored a hat-trick or something against Storm, maybe?
Yes.
When he got above George Jennings and scored right in the bell. So they haven't been flogged by anybody, and the two teams that beat them are above them in the ladder. So
good luck
intriguing.
Good luck to St. George Illawarra, who have got them this weekend for Magic Round. All right, there it is, your Round 9 Review podcast. Big weekend of footy, and we've got the Magic Round coming up. Our Round Preview podcast will drop Wednesday. We'll talk to you then.